And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. That's where you live, Alabama. I'm talking about this show sends its signal like way on down south of Birmingham and up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over east of Gadsden. Yep, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. All right, hey, look, I'm going to jump into this first dipper here. Ukraine, the Ukraine war. Okay, so we've been going now for about 500 plus days, right? And I'm going to be honest with you. I don't share the view that we have no interest there. So I'll put that out there right away. I said from the moment that this war kicked off that this particular war is, in my opinion, a watershed moment in world policy, all right, in terms of watching what the world's going to do to react to this. You've got the notorious former Soviet Union, Russia. It's led by a former Soviet KGB guy, Putin, deciding it just wants land. And by God, it's going to take it. And don't forget, by the way, that Ukraine is not just some backwater country. Ukraine has quite a few nuclear power plants. Ukraine has quite a few natural resources. Ukraine is also considered the breadbasket of Eastern Europe, meaning that so much of the agriculture there feeds so much of Europe. It's a net exporter. In 2014, during the Obama administration, that would be the Obama-Biden administration, Russia decided it wanted the Crimean Peninsula. It just took it. It said it was there to protect so many people who were of Russian heritage, and what they really wanted was they wanted a port. What they really wanted was they wanted more territory. And Obama let it happen. And by the time Trump came into office, there was nothing that could be done about it. They were entrenched. But then Putin's master plan decides he wants to reclaim the glory of the former Soviet Union. And he needs the resources, and he also needs, by the way, the revenue that would come from incorporating a vast swath of land called Ukraine. And so the war that we thought was going to last 3 days is now 500 days long. And Russia's getting waxed. And I don't mean like a little bit. I mean like a lot. Now, do I have a problem with the way the United States is handling our part of it? Yes, I have since day one. Since day one. I cannot find the strategy. Well, we are in this as long as it takes. That's not a strategy. Thank you very much. Well, we're going to give them everything they need. Well, no, you really haven't. If that's the case, why do you keep dribble-drabbling things out there and changing your mind and do it? So here's the bottom line, y'all. What we have, and I say it all the time, but what we have right now is a occupant of the White House who has never led anything in his entire life, ever, ever, ever. Can't lead his own family, for that matter. Ever. Has not been the head of an organization, has never written a paycheck, does not understand what it means to lead troops in war, has never done anything that requires crisis leadership. He has had what I have said multiple times. The phrase that I coined was, he has enjoyed decades in D.C. with the ability to have rhetoric without responsibility. He enjoyed the opportunity to be a senator, which, by the way, I honor that. There's a place for that. I was a state senator. I get the role of a legislative branch. But he was enjoying the opportunity to go to the microphone and say whatever he wanted to say and walk away from the podium and not have to own a bit of it. Just excoriate somebody or lift somebody up or demand some action and then walk away and not be in charge. Ultimately, the action-oriented side of government is going to wind up being the executive branch when it comes to the military, foreign policy, all of that. It acts under the direction, obviously, and administration and checks and balances of the other two branches, but the executive is the one that has to own it. The executive is the one that has to enact that which the legislative branch may have authorized. And in this case, our Constitution requires that the command of troops and the execution of foreign policy falls to the executive branch with oversight from the legislative and of course, review by the judicial. All that to say, what is our policy? Now, I did a segment on this probably 6 months ago, and I asked the same question that I'm asking now. What exactly is our strategy? What is the plan? Is there a plan? If there is, I can't see it. Well, the plan is we're going to We're gonna be with them to the very end. Okay. What's the end? Do you have an end state, sir? Well, we're leaving that to the Ukrainians. Really? That's your plan? We're going to give you $100 billion in aid, and you tell us what you want to do. No, it doesn't work that way. If this is something that is in the American interest, and arguably not allowing Russia to take over a part of Europe and butt itself up against NATO allies like Poland, arguably that's in the U.S. interest, because NATO is a U.S. interest. So if that's in the U.S. interest, Mr. President, so much so that we're going to insist on sending $100 billion worth of weapons and financial aid, then I would think that surely somewhere in there you have said, and Ukraine, here's what we expect in return. And Ukraine, we want to know what your end state is right now before we give you any more. Is your end state to just push them back out of the existing borders that were there in 2020? Do you want to reclaim the Crimean Peninsula? We're not sure we can go with you on parts of this, but all right. But you've never heard that, have you? All you've heard is, well, we're just told them we're there till the very end. Okay. Got a piece here from foreignpolicy.com that almost verbatim reiterates what I just said. Foreignpolicy.com. By the way, all the resources are up. You want to see them? Go ahead and check them out. Go to the website, rightsideradio.org, rightsideradio.org. If you hear me rattling paper, it's there for you. So on the live stream tab of the website, you'll see the video, and right above the video playing of us inside the studio is a button that says resources. So every dipper is always resourced before the day even starts. I send it all out to Alicia and Boomer, and we get it all ready to go. And all those links to all these stories are there in case you want to go grab one for yourself. Story here from foreignpolicy.com. Title of it, How Not to Help Ukraine. This came out about 4 weeks ago. It says, over the past 16 months, perhaps the most discussed aspect of Washington's policy toward Ukraine has been whether or not U.S. Congress will continue allowing the provision of weapons to Kyiv. The question has dominated the news and the opinion pages for good reason. There's a loud but vocal minority, particularly among Republicans, that has promised to increase scrutiny. By the way, I'm all for the scrutiny. I'm absolutely for the scrutiny. We better make sure that we know where every dollar and every bullet went. But it says any move to curtail military supplies, though, would have a profound consequence on the war, and yes, it would. But here's the thing. If you look at it, it said the other intense focus of what is happening is the lack of a strategy. It says, put another way, a good strategy involves clearly defining your objectives, your ends, developing practical methods to accomplish them, your ways, and then allocating the sufficient resources, the means, to turn these objectives and methods into reality. So what are the ends, what are the ways, and what are the means for doing our strategy? It says, almost a year and a half into the war, the United States objectives, its ends, remain nebulous. President Joe Biden is fond of saying the United States will back Ukraine as long as it takes. And he and his administration are notably mute on defining what exactly it is. So instead, Biden has framed the outcome only in the negative. Ukraine will never be a victory for Russia. Well, you can't frame a plan in the negative. You have to frame a plan in terms of what you will do. It says the lack of a full-throated commitment to an outright Ukrainian victory over Russia has led to a tepid, and at times even counterproductive approach to the second element of a sound strategy, the ways. Here's the thing. I'll just go ahead and summarize this and remind you. So there were a number of things that we just weren't going to do. The Ukrainians were like, look, man, you give us the stuff, we'll fight. By the way, I talked to a young military officer who just got back from Poland recently. That young military officer was there to oversee the some of the weapon systems and all that we had sent over. He said that, in his words, he said, I kid you not. He said, every trainer I talked to said they've never seen people like the Ukrainians who are willing to learn as fast as possible, who can make battlefield repairs like nobody else in the world, and who will work with next to nothing and get more done. And they're all super impressed. So there's that. If you turn to the quality of, it's not like you gave a wristwatch to a hog, all right? It's not like that at all. These folks are getting it done. But if you remember, they asked for F-16s. Oh, no, we can't do that. Can't do that. And then we did. They asked for M1 Abrams tanks. No, can't do that. Well, okay. They asked for Patriot missile defense systems. Ooh, hey, no, I don't think that's an escalation. Well, okay, we can do that. If you're going to keep dithering, when you don't have a plan, what happens is you dither, you dither, and you do. And then you dither, and you dither, and then you do a little more. And then you dither, and you dither, 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 and maybe you'll do a little something else that you hadn't planned on doing. And nobody knows what you're going to do. How reliable is this? It's not reliable at all. It says slow-rolling deliveries has become less defensible the longer this conflict has gone on. Western restraint has produced little Russian response. In other words, there's always this fear of escalation. If we send more weapons systems, man, the Russians might get mad. The Russians are already mad. The Russians are, they are bombing certain parts of Ukraine back to the Stone Age. We are looking at World War II level destruction of whole cities. We're looking at trench warfare in some places we haven't seen since World War I. This is conventional warfare at its ugliest, using modern munitions. If you think for a second, they might go nuclear. Well, they might go nuclear whether we're there or not. But I don't think they will, because they want that territory. Now, Putin is unstable. I agree. Putin is somewhat unpredictable. I agree. We don't want things like Prigozhin and his Wagner group to get mad one day and go seize a nuclear facility. That could be an issue. But right now, what we know is this. We said we're in it, but we've never given a plan. We said we're in it, but we're only going to send certain munitions, and then we change our mind, and then we change our mind, and then we change our mind. What is the freaking plan? In the absence of a plan, you have that old saying that a failure to plan is a plan to fail. And we cannot afford that. Not on the world stage. We cannot afford that. In the eyes of all of our NATO allies who are watching to see how we're going to lead, we cannot afford that in terms of an entire nation right now that has become dependent upon our assistance. And by the way, I do not mind the idea of helping Ukraine. I don't. I want more accountability, and I want a freaking plan. Let's take it to a break, but we'll come right back. I'm going to tell you about one of the latest flare-ups in this whole situation, cluster munitions. What's up with that? We'll talk about it. And then you might want to hear, what did the climate czar John Kerry say the real issue is about the war in Ukraine? Yeah, you can already imagine. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Back, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So I'm in number one of the triple dipper. It's a cluster. That's what I'm saying this title is for this dipper. It's a cluster. I'm talking about the Ukraine strategy or lack thereof. So speaking of cluster and the way the title came about was I saw all the news, and it just depends on who you're reading. You know, so first of all, there's all this hullabaloo about the next weapon system or munition that the Biden administration has decided, I think we can do that now. They've only been asking for it since the beginning, is what we often refer to as cluster munitions. If you're not familiar, a cluster munition is one that's either airdropped or fired by some ground-based, you know, artillery that explodes, generally speaking, explodes in the air and rains what they call submunitions or bomblets down onto a target. So basically, it's an airburst followed by, you know, a series of other bursts that come out of that shell, and it can have a far more devastating effect. The problem is that most nations who build subpar weapons than what we build here in the United States have a pretty high dud rate, and those munitions are alleged to be almost like landmines. They lay around, and they can wind up taking somebody out later. And it's not unheard of. I mean, so personal story here. Afghanistan, 2002. I am literally in the middle of nowhere, It's my small team and some special forces guys, and we're in the middle of nowhere, and we're assessing this village, and we're meeting with the local elders, and we're checking out former Taliban fighting positions and sort of getting the lay of the land. And through my interpreter, one of the village elders walks up, and he says, "I have some of your cluster bombs in my farm field down the road." I'm just paraphrasing here, but and we're like, oh, well, you know, plowed ground. Apparently this had been a Taliban stronghold, so when we bombed it during the invasion, some clusters didn't explode. Some of the submunitions didn't explode, and they hit the soft ground of the plowed field. Anyway, so we're like, well, how much what, are they all in your way? We're thinking they're all scattered out. He says, no, I picked them up and put them all in a pile. We're like, holy crap, because those things get super sensitive, and you just don't touch them. So yeah, a few minutes later, we go down the road. Dadgum, if he didn't have a pile of about 30 of them, I mean, it's like some people would pile up leaves in a yard. There's all these yellow drogue chute cluster munitions piled up in the corner of his farm field. He's just been plowing around them. And we're like, whoa. So the 18 series guy, the engineer for the SF team, he's the demo guy. He's like, okay, yeah, let's all take a step back because those are legit. And he said, we can't leave them here though, sir. And I said, well, roger that. You got some stuff with you? He goes, yeah. He said, let's blow them in place. All right. It's like 4th of July for us. We're like, sure. So he wrapped, I don't know how much deck cord he wrapped around those things, but he just basically walked around that pile slowly and carefully, laying deck cord, primed it with whatever. I don't know what charge he put on it. But then he looks at all of us and he goes, y'all really need to get back. Like, I'm talking like a quarter mile. And so we, you know, pulled the vehicles down the road. Next thing I know, fire in the hole. Cha-choom. I mean, it was like a small nuclear explosion went off. So, yes, in my personal experience, cluster munitions do wind up laying on the ground sometimes longer than they're intended. They're also highly effective. And if you're trying to kill bad guys, then what do you need? You need the stuff to kill bad guys. The claim is, well, they can also have collateral damage. Not really. If you're shooting at bad guys, it's not like they fan out for a mile and a half, all right? They are far more lethal in their general space. Well, they can also lay on the ground, and they can cause injuries to civilians later, and that is true. So can allowing the enemy to advance, all right? So that being said, I don't really have a beef with giving cluster munitions because, number one, our cluster munitions are far more effective. That situation I saw in Afghanistan notwithstanding, we have improved our system since then to where the average cluster munition only has a fail rate of about 1%. Some say 2%. It's pretty low when you consider that the Russians, who are already using cluster munitions right now, have a fail rate of 30%. You're talking 30% of what Russia is already raining down on Ukraine, aside from the thousands of landmines they've already emplaced around. We're spending, by the way, some of our aid over there is literally for demining. And if you want to talk about a serious situation, if you want to talk about something that's a violation of the international order, landmining a civilian populous area for no other reason except to create havoc, that's what the Russians are doing. And yet we have both Democrats and some Republicans are freaking out because we're going to give them 155 shells that are cluster munitions. I don't really have a problem with that. The problem I have is they've been asking for them for 500 days. They've been asking for them for 500 days, and now we're going to do it. What changed? Nothing changed. Nothing at all. What we have is a leader without a plan who doesn't have a red line. He has a waffle line. I'll dither. All right, we come right back. I want you to hear what General Jack Keane said about cluster munitions, and we'll talk about it some more. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We will be right back.
You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, state, the national, and sometimes the international, like right now. And I mean, we cover all of it, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. So I am in number one of the triple dipper. I'm calling it, it's a cluster, and I'm talking about Ukraine. By the way, hats off to the Ukrainian people. I've been watching a number of different reports talking about how they are rising to the occasion. And I don't mean like they're loving it and it's their finest hour and they're just walking around with their chest out. No, it's amazingly tough. Amazingly tough. It's amazingly abusive and brutal. But they are not just sitting idle. I mean, there's whole cottage industries being put together right now on how to make things. They didn't have enough helmets. So they've got like companies that are making helmets in garages. I mean, it's amazing to watch. But before the break, I was talking about cluster munitions. All right. So here's the deal. Phil Williams' viewpoint, I do not have a problem with the use of cluster munitions. I don't. I understand why some do. I don't share that same sentiment, though. To me, if you are in the position, and by the way, ours have a very high yield rate, so it's not like we're looking at something that, like the Russians, they're blowing up and, you know, scattering like 30% of their submunitions around the ground and never, you know, they become new landmines. Not at all. That being said, you look at the fact, though, that this is another one of those weapon systems that Ukraine has been asking for almost the entire 500 days or more. Hey, we need these. We think we can be effective with these. We'll get back to you. We're not sure. We're dither, 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 dither. Story here on CNN. Joe Biden says, as of a couple days ago, it was a very difficult decision for him to make. 500 days difficult? 500 days. We don't need a president who takes 500 days to make a difficult decision. I mean, did Fareed Zakariyyeh, who interviewed the president on this, even think to say, sir, you're the president of the freaking United States. How long should it take to make a decision like this? I mean, so Biden says, it was a very difficult decision on my part. And by the way, I discussed this with our allies. I discussed this with our friends on the Hill. The Ukrainians are running out of ammunition. What a thing to say. So the president says, to the Russians who are listening, the Ukrainians are running out of ammo. Then he goes one step further, by the way. He says the U.S. is running out of ammo. But Biden told Zakariyyeh, who did the interviewing, he says cluster munitions were being sent as part of a transition period until we could build up our own stocks again of 155 artillery shells. Really, sir? Nonetheless, nothing should take a president 500 days to decide. Y'all, 500 days. A year and a half of going, I don't know. What do you guys think? I don't know. Why do they want it? I don't know. What would happen if we did? That is not a decision maker. Now, human rights groups are opposing this. And I'll tell you what really happened. Was he dithering? Yes. You know why I think he was dithering? Because he was worried about appearances. Well, somebody might complain. Well, somebody might say something, I don't know, mean. Well, I don't know how what's the liberal base going to say? The liberal base is going to say anything about everything. Liberal base, unless you're approving a transgender law, they don't know what they want. So that being said, here we are. Now, let me play an expert opinion for you. Boomer, you got that sound audio clip? So I got an audio clip here. I pulled this off of YouTube, an interview 2 days ago, with General Jack Keane. To me, he's one of the most respectable men out there with the ability to provide clear commentary on matters of military and foreign policy. And now, whether or not you agree with everything he says or not, he is still an expert. And that being said, he addressed a question on, what do you think about these submunitions, these cluster bombs? What do you think about these being sent over there right now? Sir, what is your opinion on that? Boomer, go ahead and play it.
Well, I think it's appropriate. I wish it had been provided sooner. The Ukrainians have requested it many, many months ago. The munitions that we're providing, what makes it controversial is the dud rate among the munitions. And the munitions we're providing, as opposed to the Russians who are using the same type of munitions, their dud rate is somewhere around 30 to 40%.
And when you say dud rate, that's the failure rate, is that right?
Yes. The failure rate on your munition to explode, they explodes in the air, and then the bomblets are let out. And if there's dud rates among the bomblets, then it could be dangerous for somebody walking or traveling in a vehicle subsequent to that munition being on the ground, you know, weeks or months or years later and suffering an injury, which has happened in the past. The United States has produced weapons who have a dud rate very close to 1% with a high pot of around 2.5%, and that is what the Ukrainians will be receiving. What is happening here is the consumption of normal artillery ammunition is being consumed at an extraordinary rate. The United States and our coalition partners throughout Europe are providing over 120,000 of these rounds a month. But they are being consumed, and the Ukrainians are very concerned about that, particularly now that their counteroffensive is underway. And that is why they've been pressuring the United States to provide the cluster munitions.
All right, stop
to make up for-
All right, so what you're hearing there is General Keane, former Vice Chief of Staff of the Army, is retired four-star, is saying that he thinks it's an appropriate ask. He thinks it's an appropriate give. Okay, I don't really have a beef with it, but I go back to the whole situation that we're in right now. This whole thing is a cluster, not because we're supporting the wrong cause. And I hear people, by the way, saying, here's a couple of weird critiques. Well, we hear there's corruption over there in Ukraine. There's corruption in Chicago. What is your point? Well, they're a corrupt nation. What does that mean? So they have to be a pure nation? Well, they don't respect the rule of law. They have courts. Okay, I'm not sure what the standard is. Well, they were colluding with Biden, and we think maybe they're trying to hide some things, and Biden's paying them. It's like payoff. Okay, I see that argument. I can't help but think that Zelensky's got some pictures in a drawer somewhere of Biden. That does come to my mind, too. I agree. However, if that were the case, do you think he could lead all of the NATO allies into supplying something to cover his own son's bad actions? I doubt it. This is real. This is as real as it gets for the Baltic states and for Poland and Moldavia that are staring down the barrel of the Russians. So it's not just about covering for Biden. No, maybe some of that's in there somewhere, but that's not the driving force, at least not for the majority of NATO. I can tell you that for a fact. And then the third one is, but Zelensky. I mean, Zelensky used to be an actor, like a comedian. I mean, who is Zelensky? What kind of leader is this? He's a leader who rose to the occasion. Have you looked at Ronald Reagan's career? Ronald Reagan was an actor who did movies with monkeys. Go look at Bedtime for Bonzo. I'm just saying, don't discount a person because they had an alternative career before they got to the one they're in now. What you look at is leadership, like I talked about in my monologue. And Zelensky has stayed on the front lines with his men more times than Biden has ever been to the Mexican border. Now, let me wrap this thing up. I'll just tell you, there's a new move right now for NATO membership for Ukraine. I am finding something to agree with President Biden on. Now is not the time to admit Ukraine into NATO. Ah, but Phil, you say you're for them. Yeah, I'm for the fight, but you know what? The minute we do that, part of Ukraine's fight in this is because they see, part of Russia's fight in this is because they see NATO encroaching over time. I get it. They want to feel threatened. They didn't have to feel threatened, to be honest, but they chose to feel threatened. And if you think we're going to make things better by making Ukraine a NATO country today, what that basically means is Article 5 of the NATO Convention gets implemented, and next thing you know, we're putting boots on the ground, and I do not want our boots on the ground. So I have to agree with President Biden. Now was not the time for that. as far as I can see. And lastly, I will tell you that the one more thing that just shows that what a cluster this is when the guy who represents the Biden administration as the climate czar, John Kerry, goes out and says that what we're really dealing with here, and this is, by the way, as dated yesterday, John Kerry is in Europe, and he was daring to say during an interview with MSNBC that the real problem we have over there is the emissions and climate change. That's the real problem with the war in Ukraine. Well, that's a clear indication he didn't get the memo that this is not why we're here. All right, folks, that's enough of that one. It's a cluster. You should demand, as citizens, you should demand that we see a strategy. You should demand accountability. And don't think for a second there might not be a U.S. interest involved. I think there is. But the truth be told, how about we start leading with a plan? Wouldn't that be amazing? Right now, it's a cluster. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, coming right back. Adventures in Woke World.